Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Thank you. And I'm glad that some of you are brave enough to come back. I've been told I have this gift of sending people, but that when I speak, people leave, so I'm not sure why. But I do love you. I love the church. Do you know that I love Jesus? I really do love Jesus. And I love the church. And do you know you can love the church and not love Jesus? It's evident right across the world today. The church can be so obsessed with herself. But do you know you cannot love Jesus and not love his church? Think about that. If you truly love Jesus, you'll love his church. With all the warts, with all the issues, with all the relational tension and all the drama we have as the church, we still love the church. Why? Because he purchased the church with his blood. Nobody belongs to us. Everybody belongs to him. And he cared so much that he bought us with his blood. Amen. And we love to talk about the blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow, and we clean and we're forgiven of sin, and the power of sin's been broken in our lives. And that's true, yes and amen. We love to talk about we've been bought with the blood of Jesus. But to be bought with the blood of Jesus means he owns us because he paid for us. No one likes to be owned, especially Americans. But we've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. We belong to him. And we can claim all the claims we want, and we can hang on to him in the storm, but he is hanging on to us. He will not let us slip. He will not let us go. He is connected and committed to his people and to the plans and the purposes that will prevail regardless of what comes our way. Amen. Just let that sink in for a minute, because we so want to do things for the king, but we can't do things for the king until we've understood what the king has done for us. What other king, no other king, would leave their kingdom to purchase their people that actually are there to serve him? He came and served us. It's just this radical shift. And the more we're in the world, the more we think like the world, the more we see leadership like the world, the more we take Babylonian style leadership and try and bring it back into the church. But this kingdom we're a part of is an upside down kingdom, like nothing here on this earth. And the church wants to be so culturally relevant. We want to be so connected to culture that we begin to act like the culture to reach the culture. When Jesus came, he came so different to anything they had ever seen that his own people couldn't receive him as king, because he came in a way that was different to anything they've ever experienced. And I'm not trying to say let's be weird, but I am going to tell you this. We can't reach the world with the world. We've got to bring a kingdom that's like no other kingdom. And we serve a king, and we've been purchased with the blood, and we belong to Jesus. And then we want people to know not what church we attend, but what kingdom we're a part of. And we're happy for the congregations and the churches we're connected to. God wants us there, and I want to talk about that. But I need us to understand again, we don't represent your church. We don't even represent a movement. We don't represent NCMI. We represent the King of Kings. And how are we doing in representing him? Do people see Christ in us? You know, America is a great nation with all her issues. This is a great nation. If you don't believe me, go anywhere else and you'll see, including Canada. Sorry. And those of you who don't like America, try Canada and you'll come back very quickly. And I can tell you that because I've lived in 5 countries. And this is the greatest country in the world. And the reason I believe that is because I live here. This is my inheritance, and I'm blessed to live in this great nation with all our issues, and we have them, but they cannot be solved in the world through governments. Only through the church. God's not looking to governments. He's looking to his church. You know, the Bible says that unto us a child is born. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm getting in trouble because I'm not getting to any notes here. But unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Right? And the government, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. And the government of God will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And to the reign, to the end of it, to his reign, there will be no end. Now you think about that for the moment. If God says the government will be on Christ's shoulders, what are we? We're the body of Christ. Meaning what? We carry the government of God, being the body, the shoulders. I believe there is power, there is authority. There's all authority in heaven and earth being given to Jesus. He made that clear. And he said, now go and make disciples. His authority, he's empowered us to carry the government of God. Amen. That's not to downplay presidents, not downplay. That's needed and vote, and we must have government. Praise God for all those things. Honestly, we better pray like never before for our government and whoever's in leadership. It's what the Bible says. Pray for your leaders. Not just your church leaders. Your leaders in government. Whether you like them or not. You know when you pray for them, you actually get a heart for them, even if you don't like them. Interesting. It's the same in the church as a pastor. If you pray for the people, you love the people. If you need a heart for people, pray for them and you end up loving them. You want a heart for this region and for these people, pray for them and you'll get a heart actually to care like Jesus cares. But I want to say again, friends, that God has a solution for everything we're facing, and it's Jesus Christ. Amen. And he wants his church functioning in what he intended for the church. And that's why I think we're in an incredibly exciting yet daunting season, because we've got to come back to depending on Jesus. We've got to come back to the revelation of Christ and being the hands and feet to the world around us who's not looking for a good church, they're looking for Jesus. Yeah. And we are the church, not what we do in this moment, in this meeting, being the church out there. So we got to come to these times to hear what God's saying. I call these moments and meetings, these gatherings, and can I just be in trouble as I have been all weekend, but just say, it's not just about us gathering. We have the right together. We have, it's our amendment, it's our duty, it's our, yes. And all the church is talking about is we want to meet, we want to gather. And I'm like, that's awesome. But Jesus didn't die so we can gather. The mission is not gathering. We've got to gather, but the gathering is not the mission. And the church has made gathering the mission. So when we were not allowed to meet, you know what happened? The mission stopped. Houston, Austin, we have a problem. If the mission ceased because we can't meet, can you imagine the early church? Because they weren't able to meet, suddenly the mission stopped. No, why? Because the mission is not gathering. Gathering's to equip us to get on with the mission. So I'm not anti-gathering. We're having them. We believe in them. And I do believe we have the right to gather. But it's not our amendments. It's not our risk. We get to meet. No, we get to be equipped. And we can't miss the meetings. But what happens in the meetings is God equipping us, all of us, to go be the church, not just do church in our gatherings. This city can't be won from this building or the other church buildings all over. It's us as the people of God being the church, showing the world who will never set a foot into this door, through this building, but still need to be touched by us because we represent a king who would be mixing with them. So I'm all for our gatherings, but we gather for purpose, and the purpose is not just to gather. The purpose is to be equipped. Gather, grow, and go. Should be the characteristics of every local church. We gather to grow, not for size, maturity, to be equipped, as I spoke about this afternoon, to be empowered to go and be the church. Amen. And nobody goes and watches a game, any sport you want. No one's impressed by the halftime. Have you ever noticed? The halftime's when we all go get our refreshments and our drinks, knowing, but at the halftime's probably the key for the whole team and the players of that team, because in the locker room, the coach is equipping them to play better in the next half. And I believe the church, our gatherings are the halftime, where we come, and I'm not the coach, and no pastor's the coach. Jesus is the coach. Because if I'm the coach, I just stand here and tell you what to do. And by the way, we're not coach, we captain, and a captain's in the game. Playing the game, just like everyone, leading the way, showing the way, rather than telling everyone what to do. Jesus is in the game too, but can I suggest, he's the coach. But every player knows the need to be in that gathering to be equipped so we can go be the church. So gatherings are strategic, but it doesn't all happen in these moments together. And we think we're going to take America for Jesus based in our meetings. Not going to happen. Never been God's intention. It's not a come to gospel. It's a go tell gospel. And many times people went to Jesus and they were equipped by him. And then he sent them out, sent them out, sent them out. We are called to be sent out, friends. But we've got to come to these times together to be equipped and to be challenged and to be reminded and to be empowered so we can go be the church. All of you business people in this room, you as called as this man standing here preaching to you today. And you need to hear that. You're not a second-rate believer and you're not going to arrive one day when you're a pastor because most of you are not called to pastor the church. But somehow, because I have the privilege of having the microphone mostly, and I'm telling you stuff, you all want to do what I'm doing, thinking that's what it is. But if you were a business person to stand up here, and I get to sit there, I would feel second rate because you're telling me what you do as a business person. Here's the thing. It's not a church thing. It's a kingdom thing. And if you are doing what God's called you to do, whether it be a teacher, a DJ, working at a radio station, or what, whatever your thing is, if you're doing what God's called you to do, it's as kingdom as me standing here preaching to you tonight. In God's opinion, that's what matters, functioning in the kingdom for the King. But for too long, we've almost wanted everyone to give up their influence in the city and the world to come and sit and be a pastor of 10 people. Now, there's nothing wrong with 10 people. There's nothing wrong with being a pastor. But not all of us are called to do this. But all of us are called to be part of the kingdom, advance the kingdom for the King. And we all need it. And that's what God's calling his church back to attention, to come back to the mandate and the mission of being equipped and then going and doing it out there so people can see Jesus in who we are, the hope of glory for the world. Is that okay? Hope you're liberated to be who God's called you to be, not be someone we're trying to make you by going to seminary and all these things, when those are not bad things, but is that what God's called you to? And if he hasn't, then why bother trying to be what God doesn't want you to be? But if he has called you, and the reason you don't want to do that is because you want to be dependent and have finances, because pastors don't really have money unless you're a TV evangelist, which is there, I guess. But you are using your resources to back you because you can't trust God. There's a problem. It's just hearing God and obeying him. Doing what he said. That's all it is, friends. It's not rocket scientist. I'm not a rocket scientist. You can tell clearly I'm not. See, I think, let's go to Matthew 16. I want to read the Bible to you. Is that okay? I think the need of our time is authenticity. The greatest need of our time is authenticity. Our artificial fixations may be best illustrated by the guy who tried to get rid of a mouse that he found in his house. So what he does is he bought a mouse trap, but he had no cheese. So he thought, how am I going to do this? So he went and found a picture of cheese in a magazine. And so he cut out that picture of cheese and he put it in the mousetrap and he went to bed. And he couldn't wait to wake up in the morning and see what happened. And when he woke up and he went to the mousetrap, there was a cutout mouse caught in the trap. That didn't really happen. But I want to tell you this. That if we don't understand, counterfeit lifestyle produces artificial results. Fakeness produces fakeness. And I want to just tell you, God's looking for his church to be authentic, to be real. The world needs reality. There's so much show out there. But God's looking for authentic followers of Jesus to authentically follow Jesus. And can I suggest the best way to authenticate you're a follower of Jesus? Are you ready? Are you ready? Follow Jesus. Don't put it all over your Twitter and your Instagram. I'm a follower of Jesus. That doesn't mean anything. Go and follow Jesus. That's the best way to authenticate you following Christ. Are you a follower of Jesus? Not because your social media status says, because your lifestyle represents, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what the world needs right now, I believe. See, I was always taught if you want New Testament results, well, then you need to build with the New Testament pattern. Whatever your pattern is, that's your results. Fake cheese, fake mass. So we can say, I want the book of Acts results. But what are we giving ourselves to? We've got to pattern ourselves around the scripture and say, if that's what we want to see, well, we better actually do what they were doing. I just want to throw a few highlights before I get to Matthew 16. We're going to read in a moment. But some truths that I read the book of Acts and am I challenged by, here's a few. The truths we can glean from the book of Acts. Number one, God reigns. Despite circumstances, he reigns. And I just want to say that to the church right now in our great nation, because we are facing some onslaught and maybe circumstances are changing from pre-COVID and with election and all the stuff we're facing. And this I've got to tell you, the Bible shows us God reigns regardless of circumstances. And we can see that in the book of Acts. You know, many of us say, if only we had the book of Acts life and if only we had the approval of the early church in our country. If only we could have their approval. You know, they were imprisoned, beaten up. They were told not to preach the name of Jesus. And you know what they did? They kept preaching it anyway. Amen. They got locked up, beaten, and in prison. Paul went into cities. He got beat up. And then he got thrown out. And he got up and he went back into the city and got beat up again. In the sweet spot of the will of God, he got beat up. We've been taught in our charismatic Christianity that any opposition means you're out of the will of God. Somehow we've got to break that mentality. The disciples were told by Jesus to get in the boat and to go to the other side. And in the sweet spot of the will of God, they hit a storm. Most of us would be, we must be in the wrong boat or we're headed in the wrong direction. Let's find out how to get out of the storm. No, no. In the sweet spot of the will of God, they hit a storm. Let me just tell you, we will hit storms even in the sweet spot of the will of God. And what we've got to come back to, can I suggest, friends, is not seeing Jesus in the storm. That's not enough. We need to see the storm through Jesus. Because if we see Jesus in the storm, we still have the pressure of seeing the waves and not seeing Jesus. If we see Jesus, big picture, go to the other side, even if he's sleeping in the boat, we're going to get to the other side because Jesus said the other side. And so through the storm, our eyes are on Jesus, yes, but we understand Jesus has called us to what we're doing. So we're going to do this and we're going to get through because we see not just Jesus, we see the storm through the revelation we have of Jesus. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to cheerlead you here tonight. I'm here to challenge you and me to say we've got to trust in this time and season for big things, for great things. Not because we're great, but because he is awesome. And he called us and he's with us in the boat. Can I also say when you read the book of Acts that without God's presence and power, listen friends, we can do nothing. Strategy, books, borrowing truth from others, doing what others do, great to learn. Our power is not enough. Will never be enough. Another thing is that God does want his church to grow. Regardless of your theology, read the scriptures. God wants his church to grow. Another thing is that if people in the church we see in scripture were willing to work hard and beg God to intervene on their behalf. Yes, God, but also we have a role to play. Not leave it to God and we'll sit on our hands and watch. No, no, we're going to work hard, but we need God to intervene. Otherwise, we can't do anything. Can I also say that a praying church is unstoppable? The church is not unstoppable. A praying church is unstoppable. Are you there, American church? I'm an American to Americans. I told you that last night, even with my accent. I love this country more than most Americans, just so you know. And I probably know more. I was having lunch with an American, telling them the Constitution, because I had to learn that to become an American, which most Americans don't know. But anyway, I love this nation. I loved it so much, I married one of you. But prayer is important. Chris talked about that this afternoon, and I just want to highlight again, prayer matters. You know, when we don't pray, you know what someone said? Prayer is weakness leaning on omnipotence.
We who are weak lean on him who's omnipotent. But when we don't pray, and I'm not saying, Lord, bless me and help me and bless me and keep me. And no, we need to be lay on our knees crying out as a nation, as the church, not just for the nation, not just for our elections, for everything, because we are dependent on God for all things. And if you want God to move, my dear friends, we are called to pray. Amen. You know what's worse than unanswered prayer? No prayer, no request. We all talk about unanswered prayer. There's something worse. What about unoffered prayer? Now, we do pray, but only when we're in need. We should be always praying. And the early church is unstoppable. Why? Because of prayer. My dad used to, again, forgive me, quick quoting my dad. I keep hearing his words all my life. And he used to say, lack of prayer, lack of power. You want to know why the church doesn't have power? You know, the early church was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, empowered. Pentecost happened. Do you agree? I hope you do, because if you don't, then you can't agree with any other scripture, including he died for your sins. Pentecost happened. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. You know the story, right? So then they, Acts chapter 2, while they're worshiping, the Holy Spirit comes. And it says, what seemed to be tongues of fire. They didn't literally have tongues of fire, because now we got people today who say, unless you got tongues of fire on your head, it's not really the Holy Spirit. And we get so caught up in the manifestation, we're missing God. I'm going all over the show tonight. I'm sorry, friends. This is like our last moment. We are on Sunday, apparently, Sunday morning. But we'll go back to the Word of God. I might not be in your church. If there's another church, I'm willing. But can... My youngest son, his name's Jude, he's 14, but when he was 1 year old, we knew this is our last kid. I mean, three, that's more than enough for me. I know some of you guys have bigger capacity, but I'm like, listen, hang on. Three sons, I'm done, right? So, unless God, please no. But okay, I'm done. And so, we wanted to bless this boy because he's our last son, and we're like, hey, so for his first birthday, I bought him this big gift, and we wrapped it all up and handed it to Jude, my boy. And you know what's interesting is that Jude just unwrapped, and he was so obsessed with the wrapping paper, he didn't even care about the gift. I mean, if you have got a baby who's turning one, just give them reams of wrapping paper and watch them have the joy of their lives. Don't waste your time buying them any gifts, all right? So I thought, we wasted our money. What the heck are we thinking? So he's turned two. And so we downscaled a little and still wrapped it up. And what was cool was to see my boy actually pull it open and begin to look at the gift. And I thought, oh, my boy, he's become a man. He's maturing. Are you listening? See, we're so worried about wrapping paper. We are so immature. This is how it has to be for it to be God. This is what happened in the Bible, therefore. You know, the book of Acts is not prescriptive, it's descriptive. If we have to go back to everything that happened then has to happen today, we all start wearing dresses, not dresses, but robes. And I mean, friends, let's get cultural too then if we're going to play that game. And so we so limit God to the book of Acts stuff. That's how the church began. It should be way beyond. And even the Bible says, I couldn't write down all the things that God had done. And why I'm saying that is because we need to not get caught up in a manifestation of, is this God? Should this be? What is the wrapping paper? We need tongues of fire. We need all these things to happen. Then we will acknowledge it's God. God is God, and he wants to do whatever he wants to do. And I want to say, let's grow up a little and stop getting so enamored by the manifestation that we're missing the gift. And I know this is a difficult subject because we've all been taught that there's no such thing as manifestation today, because it's easier to be in the church when there's no manifestation, because then we're just good. We word people. Well, if we word people, you can't read the Word of God and not see that there is strange fire in the New Testament. I'm not presenting strange fire, but there's more biblical backing for strange fire than no fire. Amen. There's no New Testament scripture that backs no fire in the church. We don't need more flesh. My goodness, the church is full of flesh. That's why the church is such a mess. What we got to do is get back to some spirit, real spirit. The Holy Spirit being birthing the early church was birthing power, friends. Jesus said, wait, you will receive power. I've given you authority, but authority is not enough. You must wait for power, because without power, you can't do what you're called to do. And I know this is different, and I know it's challenging, and we've probably been taught by good people with good hearts, just wrong theology. And all I'm saying is come back to the Word of God. And yes, I've seen some of the fake stuff. My goodness, I've seen the weird stuff. I've seen the flesh stuff, people pushing me over to fall over. I've had it all. I've been in the lineup with an evangelist pushing me, and I felt, honestly, I'm confessing to you this evening, I fell over just so they would move over and move on and stop embarrassing themselves. I mean that. I've seen it all. And here's what I want to say to you. Growing up in some of that stuff, I said, I don't want any of it. Why? Because I want authentic. I don't want to play this game. And so in my desire for authentic, I shut off to all of it. And it was comfortable for me. Because I was in control. I'm a charismatic with a seatbelt. Have you heard that? You know what you're telling us? I control what God does in my life. Bravo, well done. Take your seatbelt off. Stop being a charismatic and get back to being a Bible-based believer who's a kingdom-minded understanding that we need His power to come like never before and empower us to do things we cannot do in our flesh. Amen. And the unfortunate thing in all of this, wherever, just know this, gee, we're not going to get to what I came to say, but it's okay, right? We'll come next year if another church will have us. We'll come back. But what was I saying? Jesus, okay. Seatbelts, okay. You're getting what I'm saying. I'm not mocking you if you're listening. That's great. If you want to have a seatbelt. But I want to suggest trust God. Because I've grown up with seeing the authentic and been pushed over. And in my position, God challenged me. He said, you don't have the right to be conservative, not in party, conservative in your walk. Because you're leading people who need the power I give them. And here, that's what I'm going to say. Wherever God's doing His thing, we have a devil who's not a creator. His job is an imitator. So what he will do, don't be surprised. Wherever the authentic is, there is fake. But most of us are more comfortable saying we don't like the fake, therefore we won't even have the authentic. How dare we tell God, not with us, Lord. Wow. Well, I'm not comfortable with this. I don't see that in Scripture that we're called to be comfortable with any of this. That's why there's no experts in this kingdom. If you are one, I could introduce you to the Holy Spirit or help you see you're not one. Are you there, guys? I mean, I get it. We've been taught. And some Bible, but real believers are all about the Word of God. Yes, the Word. But we have to understand Word and Spirit. They're not in competition with each other. I mean, where do we get this? As D.L. Moody said, the Bible without the Holy Spirit is like a sundial in the moonlight. Some of us, just by absolute upbringing and capacity, have a desire more for the spiritual. I get that. And our whole leaning is all that. We want more power, more power, more Holy Spirit. Others of us who think a little more are all about the Word. But let me tell you, they don't contradict. They go hand in hand. Wherever I travel, there's dividing still today across our nation and the world in the churches. Tyron, are we a Word people or are we a Spirit people? And I want to sit there. We both. And they say, well, and here's what I've come back to. I've said, what's more important on an aeroplane? The left wing or the right wing? No, seriously, and I fly a lot. Well, I used to until COVID hit, but I'm still flying, and I'm here, and I'm flying home, God willing. But I want to tell you, with all the faith I have to get home to Denver, Colorado, to go see my family, if I arrive at your Austin airport and there's an aeroplane I'm about to get on that only has one wing, I'm just telling you, I'm not in all my faith getting on that wing. I mean, that aeroplane. Why? Because that aeroplane needs two wings to take off. It needs two wings to fly and two wings to land. And we, as the people of God, need both wings. Whatever your makeup is, come a little onto this side and be biblical and get biblical backing for what we believe. And we need to coach people through this and we need to teach people. So when God does show up, and my goodness, He wants to show up. When He does and we're not comfortable, we coach people through. We don't just go quiet and pretend it didn't happen. If someone gets up and speaks in tongues, now I'm freaking out. And last time I spoke and then people left. So here we go. But I'm not trying to mock, friends. I know it's a difficult moment because it means we're no longer in control. I've never had a problem with tongues, thank God, because my father, my dad, My dad was a radical sinner, like most sinners, but really radical sinner. And he fell in love with my mother, and her dad was not a Wesleyan, sorry, I'm trying to, Presbyterian. He was a Presbyterian leader. Nothing wrong with that, it's great. And he said to my dad, if you want to date my daughter, you have to come to church. Church? What the heck's church? Never heard of church. So he went, and he said he went, and not mocking, just saying his word. The preacher was so boring. He didn't know what the guy was saying. He sat in the back row and he heard this man talk. He knew nothing of what he was saying. But after the meeting, the man says, there's people in this room that need to respond to this message. And my dad got up and walked out. And while he was walking out with my mom, he said, I need to go and respond to that. I don't know what that man said, but I need to go and tell him I'm one of those people. My mom's like, don't embarrass me, man. And it's like, what are you doing? And he went to him and said, sir, I'm one of those guys. Got on his knees, repented of all sin. He was an alcoholic. He literally went from there, that's how repented he was, him and my mom, to the pub from the meeting, and he tried a beer. He said, there's something wrong with this beer. Give me another beer. 5 times later, he said, this is not the beer the problem. I'm changed. I no longer want to drink. I'm not fighting alcohol. If you drink, that's fine. You're with me. Just, he was an alcoholic, suddenly turned off alcohol. Radically saved. Saved into, unfortunate, he was saved into religion. Not the, not, what, Presbyterian, then other groups. And I'm not mocking them, but he was part of all these other movements and denominations and good people, but structure that kills. Good people. I believe their hearts are right, but they have not got a biblical backing for what's happening. And so they have implemented all these rules and regulations. And my dad, praise God for my dad. He's a man of truth. He hates being constricted. He hates religion. Because he's never been religious, and he can smell it. And so one day, I mean, he was a Wesleyan pastor, if you know what that is, and in Africa, and he had the dog collars. He calls them that. I'm not mocking. Seriously, that's the collars and the robes and the Batman and Robin outfits. That's what he called them. I'm not mocking. No. If you do that, that's cool. It's just not in the Bible, but that's fine. Honestly, I'm not mocking. It's just, come on, let's get back to reality. I'm not mocking. I'm, praise God, I didn't have that. And he was reading the Bible, like saved into this, been taught this is how you do it, this is what it's about. He was taught, friends. Now, this is where I get in trouble. He was taught, not that tongues is bad. He was taught that if you speak in tongues, you go to hell. That's what he was taught, and that's what he taught people. But he was dumb enough to read the Bible. And while he was reading the Bible one day through the book of Acts, he saw things that he wanted to see in his own life and in the church. And he said, something has to shift. I long, not for what man tells us we can do, the structures in the church that are killing the life of God. I want this reality of what I see in the book of Acts. And nobody laid hands on him and said, say this after me, Hawaii, Honolulu, Waikiki, Suzuki, and all this nonsense. No wonder people are freaked out about tongues, because we try and trick people into doing something that only God can give them. Let me tell you, if I can teach you how to speak in tongues, you're not speaking in tongues. It's not an earthly language caught by man. It's a heavenly language. But he didn't have anyone lay hands on him. No one was with him. He just read the book of Acts saying, oh God, I long for this. And in that moment, he began to speak in tongues. According to the faith he was a part of, he's now destined for help. So being the man of integrity, and that was in the 60s and 70s, he phoned the moderator. He said, I need to meet with you. The moderator came and said, what's the problem? He said, well, according to our faith and our bylaws, I'm going to hell. The moderator said, what are you talking about? He said, I speak in tongues. They said, you can't do that. He said, I do that. So the moderator said this. I'm not mocking. This is what the moderator said. If you sign an agreement and you promise never to do that again, we'll pretend it never happened. Now, I mean, that's a good heart, but integrity not. My dad said, I want you to understand, I didn't make this happen. God did this to me. Don't ask me to stop it. I will not do that. And then he said, by the way, why am I wearing this dog collar? No, seriously. And by the way, while I'm here, why are we Batman and Robin outfits? And by the way, why do you call me reverend? When the Bible says, call no man, none of those titles. And he began, and he has the most tragic thing of the whole story. Do you know what the moderator said to him? He said, Dudley, what you're saying is actually right. But I'm not willing to give up my pension that I'm about to receive in 6 months' time. So I'm not willing to acknowledge these things publicly. My dad said, sir, take your robe, take your dog collar. I cannot be part of this anymore. Why? I want authenticity and truth. And friends, it was not a reaction or rebellion. It was come back to the Word of God. Why can't we just do what the Bible says? Why can't we just actually do what the Scripture says? Not what we're comfortable with, not what we've been taught by good people. What does God actually want for His people? And that's the challenge we have right here. Yes, I'm uncomfortable with this, as I'm sure you are. Yes, you've probably been raised in a denomination that tells you it doesn't exist, or you're on the other side that says that's all it's about, is just being in the presence of God. And I want to say both are wrong. But how could God expect of us that He expects of the early church? But by the way, He's taken the power away. How can God say, I want you to carry on the work that the early church began, but I'm going to take the power away and I want you to do it more in your flesh? Can you imagine God saying that to the church? More flesh, I want more flesh. I want more flesh and glory and honor of people than I do of the presence of God. Are we still friends? I have no point to prove it. I'm not trying to influence you in any way. I'm just saying, let's get back to true Bible scripture. And I want to say, I can show you in the New Covenant, New Testament, early church, more Bible truth of things that are strange than nothing at all. I can't show you one backing biblically of no fire. From the early church being birthed to the book of Revelation, the early church walked in power. Who? Not the apostles. Stop saying the book of Acts is the Acts of the apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. It started with the Holy Spirit, and 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. I do believe, can I not offend you, but you have the privilege, like me, to speak in tongues. Well, it's called a gift. It's not a gift. It's part of your salvation. See, if it's a gift, we say, oh, well, I don't believe in a gift. Not everyone has the gift of tongues. And I agree with that. Why? Because the gift is this. A gift is something that I speak out in a meeting like this, and then we need an interpretation, right? It's got to be. Because what good is it if I speak in tongues and there's no interpretation? It does nothing for anyone else. That's the gift of tongues. Not everyone has that, but people can do that. And you don't have the gift of tongues if you do that this Sunday, then you become the gift of tongue person every Sunday. Stop that nonsense. It says, Sorry, I'm just straight up, right? We just, no games here. Let's just be real here. I mean, you're not the gift of tongue, dude. You're not. It says He, according to 1 Corinthians 12, as He determines. So there might be a moment you do that. I've had spoken in tongues publicly, and then there's been interpretation. And that's for the edifying and the building up of the church, people, right? And if you don't have an interpretation, we must address and say, whoa. See, this is where we're going to coach people. Because if we want people to live in reality and we want to help people through this, then we must stand up when something like this happens in our meetings, which I want to suggest should be happening more and more. Not because we're putting on, because God wants to show up. We say, God, please show up. And when He does, we shut Him up. Because we're just not comfortable. And it's so, let me tell you what's not more comfortable. You try to lead that meeting. I mean, you just have to be at it. That's hard enough. You try to lead that. It's a lot easier for me to know what's going to happen tonight. Who's going to sing? These are the three songs we're going to get through. And then I'm going to preach. And I've got this. I've got my seatbelt charismatic on. And I'm good to go. Because I know where we're going. And the Lord says, no, I want you to have a plan. But I want to mess it up from time to time. Not to make you feel bad. Because I want people to know I'm in this. People need to know I'm in this. It's not a good structure and a good strategy and a good model. It's God messing our plans up. But God wants to be God in our midst. And just while I'm here, how do we show up to meetings if there's no expectation? Then why do we think God wants to be with us? That God is with us. He's always with us theologically, as we heard today. But we've got to stop asking God to be here because He's already here. Why don't we get better at saying, Lord, we know that You are here. And can I say, we don't call God to worship. We don't rub the genie and He shows up. He calls us to worship. And when we come together like this, friends, it's this moment of we want to connect with God. And we don't say, Lord, we hope you're here, because he is here. Could you imagine if you invited me to this weekend, which I think you did, or maybe I self-invited him. But if you said, Tyron, it's coming here this weekend, and I show up last night, and I'm sitting in the corner over there, and you're all waiting and say, gee, I hope Tyron's here today. I hope he will come. I hope he's here. And I'm sitting over there. What I need you to do is say, it's great to have you here with us, Tyron. Would you please come and minister? Why don't we do that with the Lord? We're asking him to be here. He's here because he's always here, but we're not acknowledging him because we want him to be here when he's already here. What we should do is let us become more aware of your presence. Let us see what you want to do. And by the way, you did this last week with this song. So this song's now the anointed song for God to move. And we get all these concepts because we're good at this. We got to get back to the authenticity and stop playing the game. Otherwise, we see why people are saying, we don't want this reality, the superficial stuff. Well, are we okay? I'm sorry, I just haven't got to anything. Not like me, I mean that. Well, I don't get much, but I do get to the word at least. You see, we love, and I think we've got to get better at being professional and excellence. But you can't have excellent worship until you stop pursuing excellence and start pursuing God. Amen. Are you there? So we got to pursue God. And let me tell you, when God does his thing, he doesn't want us just to be excellent and professional and know everything. He wants to mess some things up. Not to mess it up, just to show you it's God. And while we honor these gifts and these people that play, but God doesn't need a keyboard to happen. Now we can actually connect. I mean, I love the keyboard. When the keyboard goes, I start going, ooh, here we go. I mean it. But the Holy Spirit's not like, oh, now I'm ready because the keyboard's going. No, are you with me? He's God, guys. And while it's helpful for us to connect, we don't need all this stuff to happen for God to be God. We just got to come expectant. And I wonder how many of us do. It's like, I think most of us don't even, we want God to move and we want people to get on their knees and repent and encounter God. We sang about it, let us become more aware of it. I mean, all these things, and I love these songs we sing, but do we mean them, friends? Because somebody said, Christians don't tell lies, they sing them in their hymns. I don't think we lie, but we sing lies all the time. Move, Lord, I open my heart, but you don't. You know the song I struggle most with? I surrender. Was probably the most sung song in the church, yet I struggle to say, I surrender all. It's easy to say that, but have you surrendered every area, even the good? Wow. And so there's no expectation. It's almost like we're in a Starbucks deciding what we're going to get today. Am I going to do a frappuccino? Is it going to be a cappuccino? What am I going to get? Who's going to say what today? Who's preaching? Who's leading? Who's on the keyboard? That's going to determine what God can do. How about it matters not who's preaching? It matters not. Why? Because we're not relying on people. We're relying on God. And it's not based on the leaders, guys. Somewhere we've got to shift it. I know Chris addressed this. The priesthood back to being priests. Priesthood of all believers. You and I are all priests. People, I've had the privilege of leading the church and pain of leading church. And in the same meeting, Sunday nights, Monday mornings, the most difficult time for a pastor. Because if you've gathered, you're going to get emails. If they even dare tell you. But I get this one email and it's like, gee, Tyron, that was an incredible meeting. Praise God, my wife got healed. My daughter got saved, and we're just so grateful to be a part of this local church. Praise God. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then the next email, I was in the meeting yesterday. God's not in this church. God's against you. God hates this church. You know, there's no presence. There's no power. What kind of leadership are you? And you're sitting there going, same meeting. What's happened here? I'll tell you what's happened. It's not up to the leaders. It's up to all God's people. To come expectant. I'm telling you, we as leaders should be mad at the people when God doesn't show up. Because most leaders are on their knees, let me tell you, begging God not to bless their message and their preach.
please, Lord, would you reveal yourself and show yourself and bring truth and meet with your people. I'm telling you, friends, I'm just being honest. I've come to meetings. When I lead a meeting, I'm ready to almost walk through the wall. I've got so much faith. I've been up since 4 a.m. I'm on my knees, not begging this revelation to be great, for me to make much of you, Lord, and for us to encounter you afresh. And that's my thing. And then I walk into a meeting. Forgive me, musos, for a moment. And the musos are fighting because they're not getting the rhythm right or the day. And I'm like, guys, please, let's just, we're here for the Lord. Like, get it right, but don't get fighting each other. Then you got leaders walking in, like sleeping their eyes, and the pillow mark's still on there, and they say, oh, I slept through the alarm. And you're thinking, gee, how are we going to do this? It's all on me right now. I mean this. And I'm in the front, and I'm like leading, and then the musos are missing the moment, but God's still here. And we're like, go for it, just go for it. I know the song's off key, it doesn't matter. Or the door didn't open, and we locked the cars. All this. We had a fight with your wife. Just, if you lead a church, drive separate on Sundays to the meeting. It's the best thing you can do. I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to be weird. It just, the devil has a field day if you don't see it. By the time you get up to preach, you're so discouraged. Your faith has been there. Now your faith is here. And it's not because of God or the devil. It's because your people are unexpectant. They want to hear what the big man of God, Moses, has to say, rather than they've been up the mountain themselves. And they're ready to contribute and expect. You know, the Bible says in places that Jesus went to places and he could do very little miracles there because of their lack of faith. Jesus, as King of Kings, as man, could not do miracles because of the people's faith, not his. Other places, it says that they got together and the power of God was there to heal. What was the difference? Not the leadership, expectancy. God can do stuff. You know, I'm not here to promote Benny Hinn, and I'm not here to talk bad about Benny Hinn, and whatever your take is, if you know who he is, that's great. But let me just tell you this. When people go to that man's conference, most people who go there get healed, and you want to know why? Not because Benny Hinn even prays for them. I've been to one of those, and I watched people get healed, and Benny Hinn didn't pray for one of them. I saw people literally getting out of wheelchairs. And I want to say, you know the difference is? Those people go there expecting to get healed. That's the difference. It's not him. I didn't see him lay hands on one person. I saw them sing. And listen, say what you want. Okay, there's some weird stuff, and I don't approve of a whole lot of what Benny here. But this I want to know. I saw people literally get healed with my own eyes. And I was like, what's going on here? And I realize people come to with an expectancy that they don't come to their local church with that expectancy. Why does the Bible say, if you are sick, call for the elders? They will anoint you and lay hands on you. Most of us don't call for the elders. We go first to the doctor. Then we find out we're sick. Then we begin to phone a few friends and say, hey, Chi, can you pray for me? I'm not feeling well. And then we hear Benny is in town. We all go there to get healed. And I'm not saying that's wrong, except we're missing the point. The reason we're not calling our elders is because we don't have an expectancy that it's not them laying hands on. It's the obedience and the faith of God can heal us. And can I say to you, friends, the church in Texas can come back to this revelation that there will be an expectancy. And I believe people will line up. Sinners will come running. Because God is there to heal and deliver. Not great preaching, not good worship songs. God is in the midst of these people. But it's not going to be based on the preacher, based on my revelation, based on my gathering. I believe it's God saying, expectant. Are you okay? I'm so sorry this has been this night, but he said that God was going to do things. Not my fault. Listen, I'm challenged by a lot of what I've said too. This stuff challenges me. That's why I don't like to talk about it. But we have to talk about it. And if we don't do it in the church, in these meetings with people who are serious about God, then where do we do it? And I'm not the expert, because no one's an expert. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's not an optional extra for deluxe Christians. It's actually abnormal for believers not to have a heart for the supernatural. But we've made it, if you have a heart for the supernatural, you're abnormal. No, You're the freak if you don't have a heart for the supernatural as a follower of Jesus, because God gives us a heart for the supernatural. Not to be weird and off key, but in our hearts, we all long for the supernatural because we're followers of Jesus. And it was Tozer who said this, if God was to remove the Holy Spirit from the church today, he said this in the 60s, the church would carry on and no one would know the difference. Now that's tragic. But he carried on and said, and if God was to remove the Holy Spirit from the early church, 95% of the church would stop and everyone would know the difference. I wonder if we would know the difference. We set atmospheres, smoke machines. And I'm not anti that, okay? We got churches in full partnership that, I mean, it's like being at a nightclub. It takes me back to my old days. I've been with my wife in Sydney in the church we were partnering with. I preached there in the morning. The first morning meeting, I mean, it was in this cathedral, and I mean, they had benches, you know, like, what do I call those? Pews. I mean, it was like, and people got saved, and prostitutes came off the street. This is a church that's in partnership with NCMI. That night, I went and preached in another church in partnership with us, and it was like being in a nightclub. I promise you, I could not even, it was like the smoke machine. I was coughing. I was looking, is that you, babe? Are you with me? I'm not mocking. It was like, these are my BC days, and nothing wrong with those things, all right? They work, and people got saved in that meeting, and it works. It's in the same city, reaching different people. But those atmospheres are not the Holy Spirit. And we are immature to think we've created the atmosphere. And many meetings I've been in that I've led where people have gone home and saying, wow, that was the Holy Spirit. I was like, no, it wasn't. It was the created atmosphere from that. And these atmospheres that we create in the church, thinking it's the Spirit, but this bringing no life. It's just flesh. We've got to discern because we need authentic Spirit, not great atmospheres that make us feel great. There's no building in that. And those things aren't bad, but we can't walk away saying, gee, we connected with God. No, we connected our emotion to some emotional attachment. Somewhere we got to come back to, we connect with God. We're not ordering Starbucks on a Sunday. We're not getting, what do I feel like this morning? We're coming into His presence. Isaiah 6 is like this great commissioning statement, but it's not. It's actually the worship text, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he's trained for the temple, and he's right. And you know what it says? Fire angels. Now listen, the ancient rabbis believe those fire angels. I'm not trying to get weird, just hear this. They were angels that have only seen God. Only declared His name, nothing else. But when they saw what He saw, it says they covered their eyes and their torso with their wings. They were overwhelmed. All they've ever seen is God. All they've ever declared is His name, holy, holy. But when they saw it, He saw them covering. You cover your eyes and your torso in shame. These are fire angels that have never seen anything but Him who are overwhelmed. And we show up in a meeting and she's taking too long and not sure I like that song. I don't know that song. It's too much loud. Are you with me? And we wonder why. God's like, guys, please. I mean, I understand you're hot or you're cold, but just get it connected. So we set atmospheres and we feel good and we got the meeting and the beat and now we're going and we all go home going, that was awesome. And the Lord's like, thanks for being together, but I was there in theology, but I was not there in practice. And we can have weeks and weeks of that. What's He building? He's not building anything. We're building something. So when things happen that we're not comfortable with, good leadership governs well. Stands up and says, tongue, we have a tongue, and there's no interpretation. This is what we should do. We should stand up and say, in a meeting, stop it. Because we've got to coach people. Otherwise, they're going to. Most leaders pretend it didn't happen. Because it is easier if we all just look down. Serious. Because, like, I don't know what to do. I mean, and you know, you people are in this room going, I want to learn this stuff, but no one's teaching me, and this is wrong. And no one's saying it's wrong.
I can't trust this leadership. Or others get up and say, that's so stupid, that person, you missed it. People think, I'll never contribute in that church because, my goodness, they just shut you down. We've got to do this tactfully. And this is what we're going to say. I'm not comfortable with any of this personally myself. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us these things will happen. And this is what's happening. And so this is what it says, and this is what needs to happen. If there's not an interpretation to this, then you know what, guys? We love that person, but we're going to reject what they say. Why? Because we want to keep you free. My job as a shepherd is to take care of the sheep. You know what? People say, gee, I'm not comfortable, but we cared for. We protected. We're not going to be the policeman now, but we're open to say, okay, teach us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Have back your church, Lord. Show us, Lord. And everything that we're involved in should have a biblical backing. Otherwise, we better stop it. Are you there? And can I say, we know who the Holy Spirit is. Why? Because who's getting the glory for what's going on? You want to know what the authentic is and what the fake is? The fake is we glorify the person or the minister. Or I've got to have this man lay hands on me to get the glory stuff. Friends, we're elevating a gift. That's not the Holy Spirit. He doesn't elevate any man. His role is to glorify Jesus. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit couldn't come till Jesus was exalted. Why? Because the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. So if you are serious about being a Jesus follower, then you're going to be serious about the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot make much of Jesus. We're the Jesus people, but not the Spirit people. No, friend, you can't be a Jesus person without being a Spirit person. Because the Spirit glorifies Jesus. His role is not to take the glory, is not even to glorify the minister. How we need to hear that. Not even glorify the person that's been receiving something. So what most things happen is if I lay hands on Marco and he falls over backwards, which is weird because nowhere in Scripture does anyone fall backward. They all fall forward in fear. But anyway, it's like you have to have the holy falling and push. And we all sit there going, this is weird. Come on. But then we all want people to now watch. Look at what God's doing here. And we begin to make the manifestation the focus. Then we're limiting everyone to say, if you're not falling over, God's not touching you. I've been in meetings where God's touched me more and I haven't shaken, rattled, or rolled. Because it's not about shaking, rattling, and rolling. It's about connecting with God. Other times I've been pushed or fallen over, got up, and nothing's changed. That was not the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just engage us to make us feel good. He brings change to us. So if you want to know if it's truly the Holy Spirit, who's getting the glory for what's happening? Let's not get enamored with manifestations. And according to Scripture, signs and wonders follow us. We don't follow signs and wonders. But signs and wonders better be following us if we're walking with Jesus. And not so we're drawn people to us, so people are drawn to Him. Does that make sense? Sorry, I didn't get to what I came to say. Second Corinthians 3:17 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Can I pause and say, what does that mean? Well, that means wherever the Spirit is, there's freedom. That's not true. Because the Spirit is right here, right now. And not all of us in this room are free. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is everywhere, all through the whole country and the world. Do you believe that? But freedom is not everywhere. Why? Because it doesn't mean where the Spirit is, there's freedom. It says now when the Lord is the Spirit. In other words, I believe what that is saying, when you yield to the Holy Spirit as Lord, you are free. Which means what? The Holy Spirit's not an optional extra. He's not a wannabe God. He is part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when you yield to the Spirit as Lord, that's where you find freedom. He's our comforter. He's the one that comes alongside us, the Paracletos, the one who's next to us. But friends, we've got to surrender and allow Him. Some of us struggling with sin, and it happens. Let me tell you, we can't kill sin in our own flesh. It's the Holy Spirit who is holy, who helps us. And we don't need Casper the Friendly Ghost. I mean that. We need to come back to the
Holy Spirit, who's the fire, who purifies our life, who walks with us, who guides us, not just in meetings. He leads us. He fellowships with us. He lives in us. And he takes what Jesus purchased and he applies it to us, our lives personally. You can't do this without him. We all have the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, the Spirit is in you. So every believer has the Holy Spirit. Here's the difference. Does the Holy Spirit have every believer? No. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, we all have the Holy Spirit, but all of us can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's a response. And then you get to speak in tongues. Oh, yeah. I'm freaked out. Yeah, so was I. But you know, friends, you don't have to speak in tongues. You know that, right? You're not saved by speaking in tongues. You're saved by believing in the finished work of the cross. But as I keep saying, and I've offended people, you see these shoes of mine? Aren't they great? They're Vans. But when I bought these shoes, you know what I did? I got the tongues in the shoes with it. I didn't say cut out the tongues, I just want the shoe. No, I mean that. I'm sorry, I don't know how to explain it. I know it's offensive. It's not. It's the best description I have. When you get saved, you get the package. You have access to all these things in salvation, including tongues. Now, why do you need tongues? Not to build up and edify others. That's the gift that we speak to others. And then we need interpretation. I speak in tongues because tongues is the way I edify and build up myself. And every one of us had the privilege of having it. Why would God give that to me and not to you? That would be unfair. How do you build yourself up if you don't speak in tongues? God doesn't give it to some. He gives it to all of us. And you don't have to speak in tongues. And you'll still get to heaven because it's not. But you'll be far more effective in the kingdom if you're building yourself up and edifying yourself up in the privilege of speaking in tongues. It's for all God's people. And it's not to happen in a meeting. It's the privilege we get to do anytime. Again, I'm not going to fight you on it. And you're still going to go straight to heaven when you die, not based on that. I know people who speak in tongues. I don't know if they're saved by their lifestyle. And I don't think it's real tongues. It's the Suzuki Honolulu stuff. I'm just trying to break your mindset that you have to speak in tongues. It's not a proof of salvation. But it's part of your salvation package, and I want it all. I want all of what God's done. And even if I'm not comfortable, I trust him enough to say, even if I've been taught it's not right, biblically I see it and I want it. And if he's given it to others, why not me, Lord? My name's Jimmy. Give me all I can give me. I mean it. Why not, friends? Especially if you're going to minister to people, you better edify and build yourself up. How? In speaking in tongues yourself. So I'm not going to convince you. You already have the Holy Spirit. But I ask you tonight, does he have you? And if you say, I don't know, then he probably doesn't. And we can pray for you in this moment, not to be weird, to ignite what's already in you, if you would have that. He'll never force it. And I want to promise you this. I will not teach you how to do this because it's something you can't learn. It's something you get from God. And if you're more comfortable to say, I'm not interested, that's fine. But for me, why wouldn't you want the thing that's going to build us up? So let's close our eyes. Maybe we can have the musicians, not so we can have the Holy Spirit move because of the musicians. I really want you to hear that. It's not about a keyboard. And don't get freaked out and run away. We're finished. You can run away if you want to. I'm sorry that we didn't get to what I came to preach this evening. But I really am not forcing anything, friends. And I realize that for some of you, what I shared tonight is probably so in your face. Because you've been taught something else. And I get that. And I'm honoring that. But I'm asking you not to believe me or them. I'm asking you just to look at the Bible. And not judge the heart of those who've shared. Judge the truth from the Word of God. What is it you have for me, Lord? I mean, our job is to just present truth and trust people respond. And I'm not good at this. I'm not an expert. But I want to tell you, there's a moment right now for anyone or all of us. To say, you know what? I'm going to trust God.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making Him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.